introduce our first speaker, Carol Lee.
Hi, everybody. My name's Carol Lee. I'm an addict.
Hi.
It's really great to be here. This has been a really good convention. I've heard quite a few speakers, and I'm really warm by the way people are speaking here. Seems so down to earth. A lot of the speakers talk about giving the message to the newcomer, which I think sometimes gets lost with all the stuff, other stuff we do. So I've really been impressed. And then the other thing I learned is that from Gina is that when somebody facilitates a meeting here, they're called the secretary. Oh, at Gina's area. It's called the secretary, and whoever speaks is called the chair, which is really different. So that's one of the nice things about going out of your comfort zone to another place, to a convention, because you meet people and you learn how other people do it, you know, and you learn that the message is being carried everywhere, and that's wonderful. I was asked to speak about unity through spirituality, which is a very scary topic. I mean, as soon as you say you're spiritual, you're not. Because as soon as you say you're humble, you're not. So it's kind of a deep topic, and I'm really nervous about it. I tried to talk to a couple people. I called the guy who asked me because he had mentioned to me that this was about a tradition. So I said, okay. So I'm thinking about the traditions, and there's a few traditions that talk about unity. One talks about our common welfare, and I think nine talks about committees and service boards, and of course there's 12, anonymity, and then there's our primary purpose. So there's a lot of traditions that talk about unity. So I called him back, and I said, well, which tradition is it? Because I think when you're asked to speak on a topic, you know, I think I have some responsibility to speak to the topic as much as I can, even though I've been taught that when I share, that I pray and give it to God and I just share. But when you're speaking at a convention on a topic, I guess there's some responsibility to speak to it. But he said he didn't know which one. So I got here and I checked in at the programming table and I asked them, and they told me it wasn't associated with the tradition, that it was just a topic. So I'm like, you know, really confused. So I asked these guys, and one pointed to tradition one and one pointed to tradition 12. So what I've decided to do, since I've already prayed about this, is talk about how I've become unified with you all through this process on this spiritual journey. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My region is called the Tri-State Region. We have the Start to Live convention every year, which I bet some of you have been to. It's a really nice convention. My area is the PASNA area, and which I happen to be the chair of. And I got a big group of people here. Not just for me. They came for the convention, and I just happened to be sharing. So, but it's really nice to have them here. I grew up feeling not part of anything. I had never heard the word unity. Nobody talked about spiritual principles in my household. So I grew up kind of lost and confused. I remember as a little kid, I walked around feeling alone, confused, angry, resentful. All those things that I know now keep me away from people. But I was feeling all that stuff and thinking along those lines long before I picked up the drug, ever since I was a little girl. And when I was 12 years old, I picked up my first drug. And that stopped a lot of the noise that was going on in my head. And so I never really dealt with any of those issues. And those issues come, and, you know, a lot of us, all of us have issues. And but for me, those issues, a lot of them had to do with the way I was growing up in the household that I lived in and what was going on in my household. And I was the oldest of six kids. And with a mom and a dad, the crazy thing about it, though, is I never felt part of my family. Never. And I don't know what that's about. I don't know where I got that, but I never felt part of my family. And when I start using, even though that stopped, the drugs stopped some of the noise in my head, I never felt a part of who I was using with. I always felt less than. And then if I find a poor soul who was worse off than me, then I felt better than. But I was never part of or equal to the whole time that I was using. I ended up getting married. I didn't feel part of that marriage. I didn't know how to be part of. All I knew was that I felt so different and so less than, and I did not know how to help myself. And what happened for me was I got really defensive. It was me against the world. It was me against you. And it never occurred to me to pray about it or to pray for you. I learned that here. It never occurred to me to express my feelings honestly to anybody. I learned that here. Everything that I was thinking was a big secret, and I carried big secrets my whole life. And what that did was that kept me different than everybody. I remember, I don't know how old I was, it's not important, but I was riding on a bus going downtown to sign up for welfare. And I remember sitting on this bus feeling like an alien, feeling so less than all the people on the bus. I just really didn't feel part of the human race, and that's just the way it was for me. I got clean in 1984, and it's been a long, long journey for me. I'm always suspicious about people who come into the rooms and all of a sudden they have a God, they have all this spirituality, they want to share it with everybody, and that's great, that's great, that's great. My point is that it took me years and years and years, and I'm still working at it. I remember when I had about 3 or 4 years clean, I was sitting in a meeting, and this feeling less than, like I said, has plagued me all my life. I remember sitting in a meeting, it was Liberty Group, one of my old home groups, and I felt equal to people in the meetings. That was a spiritual awakening for me. I had never felt that feeling before. Now, I haven't felt that, I didn't get that feeling and then all of a sudden I was equal. I mean, I was, you know, I was still struggling and working at it. But I remember distinctly sitting at that table and feeling a part of everything that was happening here. And what a wonderful feeling it was. Through the course of my time, I've been through to a lot of conventions. And I got to tell you, the first few conventions I was at, I was so scared and so overwhelmed that I would actually have to go outside to get to breathe, and I would feel so scared. And I would always wonder about how all these people ran around these conventions and everybody looked so happy and like they were all together. And I know now that sometimes on the outside we can look okay, but on the inside that's where it's all happening, and that's what it was for me. It's just been, and I don't want to scare anybody who thinks it's great after you get some time, because it is great, but like us, we're never cured. It's been the last couple of conventions that I've been at where I've been completely at ease and completely comfortable, and this is one of them, except for now when I have to speak, I got all jammed up, but... So it's been a wonderful journey for me. And when we talk about spiritual principles, I think everything that has happened to me since I've been here has been an awakening of sorts. I was a person who could never be honest. And when I started to work the first step with my sponsor, she told me this is all about honesty. It's all about self-honesty. And that is so true. And it's with my sponsor. That's the first person I actually started to get honest with. And I don't mean just the words. I mean I was honest about who I was with her. I'll give you an example. This feeling of, you know, being less than, feeling inadequate, not being good enough, it showed itself in every aspect of my life. I would get dressed. She happened to live right up the street from me, and I decided to put on a short denim skirt. We're talking years ago. Short denim skirt and earrings, okay? Which I always used to wear just black pants, you know, no makeup, none of that stuff. And I actually had to walk to her house and ask her if I looked okay. To me, that's really telling her who I was, how fearful I really was. And, of course, she told me I looked great. I have a great sponsor. She's like my biggest cheerleader. But I learned that coming here. And it's been, it's just been great. And the second step for me, that was hope. And that is something that I never had. I never had hope. Growing up, going anywhere, I always quit because I already knew that there was no use in me trying. I never had any faith in anything. And with step three, I got introduced to the concept of faith. Like, I know now today that I'm going to get through this 20 minutes and it's going to be okay. And I learned that after doing it a number of times and you people telling me over and over and over again it's going to be okay. I have had a lot of experiences in recovery. Remember when I said I didn't feel part of my own family? Today I'm part of my own family. My family loves and trusts me today, and that's because I'm able to be a whole person today, and I'm able to be the daughter that I'm supposed to be with my mother, and I learned that here. And it's been great. A while back in 1990, I got married. And that was a pretty big deal for me because I was not able to have a healthy relationship anywhere, and with men or with other women or anywhere. And I decided that, you know, after having 6 years clean, that I would, you know, try to start dating again and get married, and I did. What was so great about my marriage is that he was in the program and I was in the program, and we were equal. And that was something that I learned here. So this whole, everything about me today, everything that I know, everything that I do, sponsorship, the way I go to meetings, the way I do service, the way I treat other people, has everything to do with the spiritual principles that I've learned here. And for me to say that I'm a spiritual person, I'm not. I don't talk a lot about God. I don't preach to other people. I don't even have a religion that I practice. I mean, I was raised Catholic, but that's really not what it's about for me. I really believe that I get everything that I need here. This fellowship fills me up, gives me everything that I need. And that's it. Thanks for listening.
At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Mike S.
Hi. My name's Mike. I'm an addict.
Hey, Mike.
Thanks for letting me be here. I'm very, very, very fortunate. I got the best sponsor on the planet Earth. I have the best sponsor on the planet Earth. the greatest sponsor on the planet Earth. And I like the way you opened and said trying to speak to the topic, because after years of being around here, I believe we need to speak to the topic too. So right off the bat, to make sure I'm on task, my sponsor, Danny S., taught me something about spirituality and unity, or unity through spirituality. And he taught me this by telling me about what this program was about. And he said, he said that so long as I do everything through the principle of love, I can't be doing wrong. And he meant through the principle of love, not through lust or doing something through desires that I confuse with love, but through love. I wrote a few notes down. I came up here, and like the rest, I probably just thought the best thing to do is not plan this, and I didn't. And in sitting here, listening and thinking and looking out there, I wrote a few notes down. Danny taught me some powerful stuff over the years. He taught me about the miracle of love. And he said that he reads the Bible. And, you know, I almost feel sorry for the people down there in Louisiana, because they talk to him every day at meetings and stuff, and they don't realize who they have in their presence. This guy is powerful. And he'll read stuff that you and I read, and he'll just get right to it and come up with the most powerful thing. I don't know what the rest of y'all ever thought about the Sermon on the Mount, but he talked to me about this person, this great teacher, speaking to the people. And he said that the miracle that occurred that day wasn't that this great teacher materialized food for the people, for the multitude of people that were listening to him. He didn't materialize it out of thin air. The way he multiplied the food was he got the people to go into their satchels and say, yeah, okay, I got some more. They stopped saying, this is all I have, and they put everything out there for each other, and they acted on faith. He said, that's the principle of love. He said that was the miracle, not something coming out of thin air. The miracle was the expression of love. Man, it's 6-something. It's 6 o'clock. There's supposed to be a banquet going on and this speaker thing and a dance. I thought most people wouldn't be in here listening to us. I thought you all be out getting some seafood. I did. I stopped before I came here and got some seafood. It was the spiritual thing to do. I need to go ahead and qualify myself very briefly. I spent 21 years in active addiction. Spent many of those years in prison. Last time I was in jail, I stayed there 6 years to the day, most of which was in maximum security prisons. Any of you all that ever been to the penitentiary in Baltimore back in the 70s, you know we could smoke and drink in that place. Anybody here back in the 70s? Every day. Y'all told me no human power could deliver me from this thing, and you were right, because there was a time in my life you could aim a gun at me and not prevent me from using. Nowadays, I'm happy to tell you that I believe, in this moment, I can safely tell you, if somebody aimed a gun at me, they couldn't get me to use, because it's death either way. For me, it is. I can't tell you I'd have never gone to prison or gotten in trouble had I not done some dope. But I can tell you this, during the years of my life that I have not been under the influence of narcotics of any kind, I did not get arrested, let alone end up in jail. Was always during that time I was using. I too got clean in 1984. Since that time I got clean, I haven't been arrested for nothing. I've had a speeding ticket. I'm not walking on water here. Spirituality isn't something that just flashed on me, because during my active addiction, chemicals blocked all communication. Hell, I didn't even know there was a God. Just didn't even know it. Through getting clean, it only came to me very slowly. I resisted all the religion too. I don't want to be told to do something. I don't want to do something under the lash. And then slowly but surely, I come to understand the higher power y'all were telling me about. It wasn't until I got entirely sick and tired of myself that I started doing what y'all told me to do. I took a chance. I was my own ultimate authority in life. There was only one sin I could commit. So long as there was no God, there was only one sin I could commit: get caught. Everything else was okay, so long as it fed my addiction. And I mean that. I mean that. But you know something? This spirituality got in here anyway. And that's what it made so difficult to use, because the drugs weren't working anymore. It wasn't keeping God out. Now, I'm going to tell y'all, I don't know God's name, don't know what God looks like, but whoever God is, there was this time back in February of 1984, I looked up into the heavens and I said, you know, if there's a God, all I want you to do is take the compulsion away from me. It's the most sincere prayer I've ever done in my life. And it's the only time in my entire life I got an answer immediately. It was no big clap of thunder. It wasn't all the visual evidence or anything. It was this real warm feeling went through me, and I knew it was over. I knew I never had to use again. And I knew that was God. I have my little beliefs. I have my God of my understanding. And the older I get and the longer I stay clean, the more I tend to think, you know what, God of my understanding, whether I like it or not, I pray to the same God as every other human being on the face of the earth. When any one of us pray that somebody else do better and that somebody else be okay and that somebody else reap benefits or their problems are taken away from them, you're praying to the same God I am. You're fortunate if you know God's name. I don't care if you call him Allah, Muhammad, Buddha, Jehovah, Odin. I don't care. But when you're praying for somebody else to be okay, you're praying to the same God I am. Most of my prayers don't get answered because I want aircraft. I want yachts, and I want lots of money. I'm not the most spiritual person y'all ever meet. I'm not. I'm a particularly shallow person, and I get spiritual because of exposure to you people, and I'm not kidding. Not one bit. I get spiritual through exposure to you people. I wrote this down because I needed to get honest. I can take any healthy behavior, get compulsive about it, and make it negative. Some of y'all seen me. Eating, sex, gambling, I love craps. Haven't done it in 4 years because I gave up. Same principles. But Danny told me that anybody can talk about spirituality. It's a different thing living it. And through Danny, I learned that spirituality is expressed through my behavior. Anything less than that is BS. Anything less than that. Because I might say anything, but in my heart, I want to do this or that or whatever. You know, it's funny, because the older I get, and the more I stay around y'all, I get spiritual by accident. I can't do disclosure here. I can't tell you exactly what I do. It's embarrassing how good I get paid, and you would not believe the... When I first got hired at this place, I looked around and I said, did these people make a mistake? They were all so professional, so polished, enunciated their words so perfectly, all had degrees. In the not too distant past, I got a wake-up call. We're some good people. By following what you all told me to do, by taking your direction, I'm real pleased with my behavior. People that I look up to kind of let me down. It's amazing I can be so immature as to put other people on a pedestal to this day, look up at them, think, wow, they talk, and then be let down to them. But it's through this Congress. I look at the way I live, me and Faye, and the way we handle our home and stuff like that, and the people we deal with, and I don't think we're perfect. I sometimes think we're just the average people, but you know what? The average people, that's where the unity is expressed. It's through this unity and listening to you people. I'm very sorry. I don't have enough time. If they gave me all the time in here, I don't have enough time to tell you how good it gets. I don't. Recovery's not about drinking and drugging. Recovery isn't about just not picking up a drink or a drug. It's learning how to live without picking up a drink or a drug. Our literature says, yeah, the disease is incurable and everything, and we can arrest it. However, we can arrest it, and then recovery can begin. It says it on that brown thing, doesn't it? That's exactly what it says. I pick up a little bit of stuff now, you know. I'm a believer in this thing about intolerance of spiritual principles. You'll catch me at a downtime and I'll blaspheme somebody else's God. I say, how can they do this in the name of that God, this, that, and the other? And I keep forgetting everybody's a human like me. They don't represent some God. If they were doing what God wanted them to do, I wouldn't know about them. They'd be living life basically trying to do the next right thing. I'm so blessed, you guys. I just don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. I know you know what I'm talking about, how good it gets. A drug never gave me this, what I have today. There's this guy, Carl Jung, back in the early days. They talk about Sigmund Freud being the father of psychology. Maybe he was the first, but he had contemporaries. Sigmund Freud was the one that was the noisiest and had the most outlandish ideas, many of which are still used because they're valid. But there was other guys with him in those times, a guy named Adler. Sigmund Freud talked about, you know, the id, all this superego and stuff. And he talked about that it was all sexual in nature, that what impends on us mostly, there's a lot of truth in that. Adler came from a direction of personal accountability. He evidenced this by showing people that are catatonic, yeah, let them sit in that room and act like they can't do nothing. Don't feed them. They'll find the chow hall. 90% of the time he was right. It's not true with everybody. Carl Jung spoke of the spirit. Many, many years back, an industrialist went to see Carl Jung, a very professional, very, very, very intelligent person, went to see him. And he was seeing him on and off. He was an addict like us. His drug of choice was the cups. And he told Carl Jung, after many, many bouts with relapse and returning to active addiction, he said, have you ever seen somebody like me make it? Carl Jung said, very rarely. only through a profound religious awakening. That used to bother me. I used to think, I wish he had said a spiritual awakening. Clean it up and sound all N.A., you know. Then I read a book by Carl Jung. Powerful. Yeah, you read it. Yes, sir. Powerful. He said, from the dawn of man, every corner of the globe, no connections between this tribe, that tribe, and those people, and that nation. God was there. All of them felt a need to commune with a power greater than themselves. It wasn't passed by word of mouth. This came from God. And that when profound, wonderful things happen by God, well, man would think, that happened at the same moment. And they would make icons and they would do rituals to try and invoke the presence of God. Carl Jung made a big point of this because he said, Don't look down on the people that danced around the fire and the people that did this. Don't look down on them because that's us. That's our past. That's where we came from. We're not free-floating intelligence. He said, religious awakening. I would like to be able to tell you a way to invoke the presence of God, and the best I can come to it is when I get in a room with you people and I hear you share. And I watch you come around and continue to stay clean. God's speaking to me. God is speaking to me. And I'm just so fortunate I ever found you all. Because my life was at stake. And I'm not talking about death. Death is nothing. My life was at stake. Whatever little bit of life I had left, I might have spent for the very rest of my life in jail. The quality of life can be much worse than death if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to. Yeah, he said, I looked at the tradition 12 and I looked at anonymity, and that's what I thought he was talking about. Because, and that's why I showed you that, because anonymity is a spiritual foundation of our fellowship, ever reminding us to practice principles over personalities. I can't muddy the water. I'm amazed at how many people are in here. I'm amazed at how many people are down here. But we're a very small part of society at large. And if I do some slimy stuff and alienate you, or I steal some stuff and alienate you, or I borrow, or I do some common nasty stuff, the old addict behavior, and alienate you all, we lose our unity. That's why we got to clean those behaviors up so we can sit in the same room together. I'm a believer like this, that in my weakest time, if I can't name God, I can name love, and love is my God. And love cannot occur without a choice. And for me, God, there would be no choice if God was not anonymous. If God come down from the heavens, stood right in front of me and said, Mike, walk to San Francisco in a loincloth and preach the gospel of Narcotics, I'd do whatever he said, because it wouldn't be a choice. God wants love like we do. Don't want to force it. Don't want to force you to love me, because that's not love. It's got to be a choice. And through that principle, the principle of anonymity, which binds us together, it delivers me from that ugly little person inside that always wants something in return. I wish I could tell you all I was every bit as spiritual as I sound. Maybe I sound real spiritual. I've got some severe weaknesses that could take continuous work. And if I alienate you people, I'm in trouble, because life is so good. And I'm not being facetious or sarcastic. I'm telling you, it's because of my exposure to you. And that's what unity is for me. That's spirituality through unity. I love you people. And I'm very, very sorry I don't have enough time to tell you how good it is. But I know y'all know. I know.
this time, I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Rich L.
Good evening, family. I'm an addict named Rich. Hey, Rich. Nervous addict, but blessed addict. And I want to thank my higher power for giving me this opportunity to be here today and to be amongst you people. And I want to tell each and everybody here that I love you. And, you know, love to me speaks a lot about unity and my higher power and what this thing is all about, you know. I've been overwhelmed a lot these last couple of days. I've been blessed to have been involved in this whole convention process from the time about 18 months ago when Tri-County Area of Southern Maryland, a couple of us kicked around the idea of maybe putting in a bid to host a convention. And this convention is real special to me, and I gotta get that out there because, you know, before I got here, all the associations that I had were about a lot of negative things in my life, whether or not drugs were involved. You know, it was a lot about how I felt about myself and a lot about how I lived, you know, and the drugs were there too, but it was more than that, you know, and I'm not discounting or minimizing the drug use. But I do know that, you know, it was you people that prayed me into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. There's no doubt about that. See, because I could not stop using, you know, and there was no hope. And it was about desperation, you know, and it was about the bitter ends that are in our literature, jails, institutions, and death. And for me, it was about being dead spiritually, you know. It was about having no control over my self-destructive behaviors, you know. And it was about reaching a point in my life alone, spent up all my money once again, and sitting there in pain and desperation and saying, God, how could you let this happen to me? Mm-hmm. You know, and it wasn't until after I got here, and it wasn't until after a little bit of the fog lifted and some people, the predecessors, shared some things with me that I started to realize through reading the literature and through listening to people's experience, strength, and hope how I was creating that situation. It was my behavior, you know, and I had to own it, and I still have to own my behavior. And it's not so pretty sometimes, you know. I'd like to stand up here and, you know, people before me were talking about, you know, if you say it, you're not spiritual. Well, I tell you this, I can only speak from my own experience, and I can tell you that if you had seen me in the merchandise room at about 2 o'clock this afternoon, there was nothing spiritual going on there. I was sharing with another addict that there's probably some people that I need to make some amends to as a result of the way I was acting. You know, and I'm just getting real here, man, because that's what this thing is about. You know, I can come up here and talk some fancy stuff and, you know, go out there and act an idiot, you know, and not live spiritual principles. You know, but I started talking about this convention because this convention is really special to me. And not just because I've been blessed with the opportunity to be involved in this particular convention, but because in 1996, I came to this convention for the first time. And We Are a Vision of Hope was the theme that year. And it was really, really powerful, man. And I remember riding down with a guy, and I was in a treatment center at the time. And I remember standing up at the clean time countdown for 6 months, and the real deal is I had about 5 days clean, just to give you an idea of where my honesty level was at. You know, but I heard some real powerful things that weekend. You know, and there were a lot of people here, and I'd never seen a gathering. I'd never been to a convention. I didn't know what to expect. I remember coming back and people saying, man, they got you high there, man, and you know, and it was powerful. There's people in this room tonight that were there, you know, that knew me then. There's a lot of people here that knew me then, you know. And what a blessing that I get to be here today, you know. And it's not like I'm just following some suggestions. And my first sponsor happens to be in this room, and I'm sure he'd be glad to tell you about all the suggestions that I didn't take, you know, about all the stuff that I thought I had to do my way and not follow, you know, because it wasn't about being spiritual. It was about Rich's will, man. And, you know, and that got me to a place where I was standing up for 6 days with, when they were asking for 6 months, and it got me to a place where right after this convention, some people in Southern Maryland got together in St. Mary's County because we felt there was a need for a Monday night meeting, And people showed up with a basic text, and we decided to make a text study. And you know what? It took me a long time to sign that home group book as a member. Not because I didn't want to be a member, but because I kept changing my clean date. And it was painful. But I kept showing up. And you told me to keep coming back. You know, the very first meeting of Narcotics Anonymous that I ever went to was back in 1994. It was around Thanksgiving. It was in a club right inside the D.C. line on Georgia Avenue. And some of you might have been there. All I know, my man's laughing. All I know is I walked into this room, okay? And I immediately knew, and I also happened to be the only white person there, and I'm bringing that up to bring up this, that I knew I was home. In my heart, in my soul, I knew I was home. And not only was I not clean, I had no desire to stop using. And this is how you people brought me the unity through your spirituality. You know, I remember picking up a couple of pamphlets like, hey, what's the basket for, and some other stuff, you know. And I, you know, it's amazing how my higher power works in my life, because it was all set up for me. The plan was in place. I had a safe place to stay. You know, I still hadn't lost the high-dollar job yet, but that was coming. You know, there were a whole bunch of not yets that were all about to happen, and they all did, just about all of them. And a few that haven't, I'm not trying to get to today. You know, and my higher power had that all set up for me to get clean. And I was in an outpatient program because the family busted me out, you know, and the girlfriend ratted me out. And I was at this program in Waldorf for about 30 days, and 4 out of the 5 urines were dirty. And, you know, and I sat in the groups and told everyone how to fix their problems, you know. But the real deal was I didn't even want to look. I was so much denial going. I didn't want to look at what a mess my life was. You know, but I could tell you how to fix yours. Like, I had some credentials, right? You know, it's pretty amusing today, my story, you know. And I'm not going to get into a drug a lot. We all know how to use. But, you know, when I look back, it's a constant source of amusement, some of the ways that I lived my life, even after I got here, you know, but especially before I got here. You know, and as far as the unity through spirituality, when I was called up and interviewed about this, and this is... You know, this the theme of this convention is Lost Dreams Awaken, and you know, there's been a lot of that going on in my life. Just to be given this opportunity is about having a dream come true, you know. I remember sitting in that first meeting, and the guy's name was Richie C. He was a speaker from New York, and I'm from New York. So right away there was a bond there, and you know, and he shared some stuff, and I was like right there with him. And then the guy I rode down here with got really sick, actually, and we had to leave the meeting, and he had concrete poisoning. He's actually one of my sponsees today. What a blessing. You know, and, but what a powerful message I heard that night, you know, and that weekend. And even though I didn't have any clean time, and even though I chose to go out and get some more pain, I still got a powerful message, you know, and that's how powerful this program is. And being involved in this convention process, because, I've got some people in my life that love me enough to tell me the truth. And when I was asked to take on a commitment, and I was like hemming and hawing, and this was back around December, and the guy that's the host chair finally got on the phone to me one day, and he said, Rich, whatever happened to doing what you're asked to do for Narcotics Anonymous, man? I was like, oh, shit. You know, I called my sponsor up, and my sponsor's like, pray about it, man, pray about it. So I don't know what to do. This guy's putting the heat on me, you know. And I prayed about it, you know, and I chose to take on a commitment, you know, and it's been a blessing, man. It's been so powerful, you know. See, the kind of feelings that I get to have today were not possible before I got here, I don't believe. You know, people talk about getting their life back. I see it as never having had a life. You know, I'm really blessed to get a relationship back with my family. My dad's going to be 90 years old the end of June, man, and he's like my hero, man. I know, you know, Mike shared about putting people up on pedestals, but you know what? I could never do enough to pay that man back. You know, I could never do enough on that ninth step. And my higher powers blessed me with the opportunity to have done some serious ninth step work just in these last couple of months. You know, one with somebody that was the guy letting me stay in his place all those years ago, you know, and I took him for all kinds of money because we all know how to do that stuff. You know, but the real deal, and I had so much fear on my 8-step list when I had him down there, you know, with the dollar sign, with a couple of dollar signs next to his name about, you know, how am I ever going to pay this guy the money back? And, you know, and just the end of last month, we got together and we had lunch. And You know, and I hadn't seen him in 9 years. And, you know, he gave him some money. He said, you know, you don't have to pay me back. And I said, yes, I do. And a disease said, no, you don't. Take that money back. You know, and it's about how I get to feel about myself today as a result of doing some stuff that you people suggested. You know, and we've talked since then, and he tells me how proud of me he is, and, you know, he's so grateful that I'm doing well, and he's not even one of us. But he's one of these earth people that seems to live by spiritual principles, man. I had to go through what I had to go through to get a clue about how to do that. You know, so I'm grateful to each and every one of you in this room, and my higher power, and my sponsor, and my home group, and all that. You know, and just being able to get this blessing and this opportunity is so powerful, man. You know, we got involved in this convention, and there's been some stuff going. There's stuff going on since we got here. You know, there's the disease is right here with us, man. Believe me. You know, and when it got down to the wire here, you know, really what it's about. And this is so powerful, man, because, you know, I never found this kind of power in the drugs that I used, you know, in the places that I went, places where my disease took me. But, you know, we get around in a circle here and we pray about the person that hasn't gotten here yet, you know. And we got together in the circle yesterday in the merchandise room, you know, and I prayed to my higher power to give me something to say, to have his stuff come out, not my stuff. Because I come from a background where I used to use my mouth to talk for a living for many years. And it actually served me very well in active addiction, because I could put this front on and make it seem like everything was okay on the outside. But in the inside, I hated myself. You know, and the behavior certainly showed that. You know, and it was about getting together in a circle and talking about the person that hasn't gotten here yet. Talking about the fact that there's somebody out there that can't stop using. You know, and I'm reminded by the newcomer about what it's like when I wanted to stop and I could not stop. Just couldn't stop. Hated myself, couldn't stop using. You know, and there's somebody out there tonight, there's somebody that's going to be in that main meeting tonight that's going to get up there and get a basic text that may not even have any clean time, that may have used today. And because of our unity and our spirituality and everybody's higher power, and I love that we each get to have our own concept of a higher power, as a result of that, that person is going to leave Ocean City with hope. Man. You know, they're going to leave Ocean City tomorrow knowing that they don't have to live that way again. You know, that they can find a new way to live. Man, that's powerful. That blows me away. You know, I get overwhelmed, man. I've a lot of emotions come out of me when I think about that stuff. And you know what? I used to be one of these people that'd be like, man, I can't cry. I can't let my... You know what? It's all okay today. It's a blessing to get to feel today, you know? What gifts? You know, Mike and I are in the same area, man. I love when he shares about how good it gets. You know what? It is good. And I've heard people share about it when I didn't feel it was that good, because I had some stuff going on. You know, I've got an awesome, awesome relationship with a higher power most of the time, you know. And when it's not so great, it's not because of my higher power. You know, I'm real clear about that. You people put me on to that tip. You know, if it's not quite working out the way Rich would have it work out, it's not nothing to do with my higher power. And it's got everything to do with I'm trying to run some stuff, and I'm forgetting all about the steps, and forgetting all about traditions, and forgetting all about everything except for my will. You know, and when it's about my will, it's about leading me right back out that door. You know, what a gift. What a gift that I didn't have to wake up today trying to find ways and means of getting and using more. You know, and thank God for the newcomer. And thank God for the old timer and for everybody else, you know. And hey, man, I don't wish relapse on anybody. It was hell. You know, and the real, you know, you all talk about there's no coincidences around here, you know. And when I finally, you know, at that home group, which I love, it's cover to cover, basic text study, Monday night, and we read the literature. You know, and I show up with my books, right, like I got something going on. I, you know, you not about that, man. It's really not even about what comes out of my mouth. It's about how am I living when I walk out of that door. But, you know, when I finally, and my first sponsor knows because he was here, man, and he got all the phone calls, and I use, you know, I wish you'd call me before you use. Well, hey, man, I didn't want to call you before I used it. I wasn't done yet. When I finally got to that first year, the chapter that we read that anniversary, that night, that Monday night, was recovery and relapse. How about that? You know, it's today, even to today, it's one of my favorite chapters. You know, but as far as the unity through spirituality, and I do try to stay focused on the topic today, and focus is something I need a lot of work on in a lot of areas of my life, and it's okay. I'm trying to be in the process and trying to be about the solution, you know, but it's just so powerful what happens around here. You know, I never could find that in any drug. You know, I mean, when I first got here, I used to hear people share about, well, you know, my best day using is not as good as my worst day in here. And I'd sit there and kind of scratch my chin and go, I don't know if I can say that, man. I'm not there yet, you know, but I'm there today, you know, thanks to my higher power and you people and this program and a new way of life, you know. And, you know, my dad and I have a relationship like we never had before, you know. And he talks about how, you know, he gets it about how this program works. He doesn't really understand it, but he does. He sees how it's working in my life. I'm blessed because he got to come to one of my anniversaries. And the anniversary is, for me anyway, the way I was taught to show the newcomer how this thing works, you know. It's not about me. It's not about what I'm doing. You know, it's about the fact that somebody could come in, stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And that's really what it's about. And that's where the unity comes in. Because, you know, we get together, we get to get together with the diversity that's in this room, that's in this convention center, that's in this worldwide fellowship, you know, and there's all this unity going on, man. We all have the recovery process in common, and that's really powerful, man. Now, friends of mine from New York are here this weekend. You know, I get to go to a meeting where I don't know anybody, and I feel welcome, and I feel love, and I feel at home. And I never got that out there, man. I never showed up at a dope house and got that kind of unity. You know, it didn't work like that for me. I got the give me your money and I'll be right back, you know, and that's where it ended. You know, and I don't know, man. I just feel so honored and so blessed to be given this gift, because it's a gift. You know, and the people, my grand sponsor, my first grand sponsor used to talk about, man, if you don't think it's a gift, then you're not going to stay. You know, and when I finally got done with all that relapse and all that mess, you know, he said to me, man, were you in recovery or were you on vacation? And I knew he was telling me the truth. Dave B., I knew he was telling me the truth because I was so pissed. I wanted to take a swing at him, you know. And I'm not really a violent person like that, you know. I am towards myself sometimes, but it's a different story, you know. I still beat myself up. You know, and this pin that I'm wearing is for a guy that, Gary M., who passed away a year ago. And he was one of the people that was involved in the early phases of this convention. One of the people that for many years I would see come here. You know, and he died clean. And I just heard about somebody else that passed, and they died clean. You know, and I pray for that, man. And that's, it's powerful. You know, you stick around for a while, you're going to go to some funerals here. You know, but you know what, when we get to show up for those people, and I show up for them because they were here for me, and you people were here before I got here, you know, so I got a responsibility to carry the message to the person that hasn't yet gotten here, and we all do, you know, and that's where the unity through the spirituality comes together for me. And I'm just so blessed, you know. Gifts beyond my wildest dreams, and it's not about the material stuff, although I like it too. It's a gift because of how my life is and how I feel about myself most of the time, and how my higher power puts situations and people and places and things in my life. And I love this convention because every time I come here, it never fails that I see at least one or two or more people that I didn't know what, you know, I hadn't seen them in years. No news is not good news around here. And I'm thinking, well, God knows where they are. And sure enough, they come around the corner and I look up. And they got the glow, you know, and they put some time together and they're working the steps and they've got a home group and they're right in the middle of this thing. One more person that I've been in the process of doing a ninth step with is someone that's really, really near and dear to me. And I know, you know, I'm not responsible for someone else's use. And just like, you know, no one put a gun to my head and made me use a particular drug. I did introduce this person to a particular drug and felt bad about it for a long time. And the pattern that this person showed to me did not strike me in my mind as being somebody that was an addict. They didn't use the way I used. As a result of a lot of years and a lot of prayer and doing, you know, and trying to do a nine step with this person, they got back in touch with me some months ago. And the blessing of this program is that they've got 7 months clean. They're out in Cleveland. They got a home group. You know, she's right in the middle of this thing, man. It's really powerful. You know, it's really powerful. She asked me to get her a t-shirt. You know, it's amazing how this thing works. And she gets it about, you know, she's like, Rich, I thank you. You were telling me about NA for years. It's like, don't thank me. Thank your higher power. You know, I'm just carrying the message the way it was carried to me. Because, see, my ego will say, yeah, you got to take some credit for it. Man, it's all about you. And that's another vicious cycle and a tangent that I don't need to go on. Because then I get into all kinds of self-destructive behavior and all kinds of diseases right here. The same disease that is telling me to take that money back from the other guy. You know, the same disease that'll have me out there acting out with a newcomer and doing some other stuff. And, you know, and I got to live in my own skin. You know, I love it that I've got a network that'll tell me stuff like that. They won't co-sign my stuff. They won't say it's okay, Rich. They'll say, you got to live with yourself, Rich. I'm like, man, I want to hear that. I want to hear you tell me it's all right. You know, but the blessing is that I get to put together another 24 hours clean. And show up for life today. And have wonderful friendships with really, really amazing people that are all walking the same way that I'm trying to walk. I'm human, man. I'm not perfect. Make a lot of mistakes. Screw up along the way. You know, act out. Do dumb stuff. Have to add to my amends list. But, you know, thank God it's an opportunity to be in the process, to be in the solution and not in the disease. So I have no idea how much time I have left, but I've shared enough, and I just want to tell you, thanks for letting me share. I love you.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone.